Blog Talk Radio.
AS, this is AST Radio.
What's going on, guys? This is Arden. Welcome to a new episode of AST Present. Really happy to have this interview set because the guest we're going to have on our show is somebody that I've known for quite some time now. You know, not a long time, but I've known for quite some time, and it's somebody's who football opinion or sports opinion I really respect and I really appreciate, and he's somebody that I've had on the show multiple times that you guys have seen. We've even done the NFL draft specials together, but it's going to be a really good interview, especially once he calls in. But yeah, man, this is a new episode of AST Presents. Thank you for listening. Of course, in terms of announcements, as usual, please follow me on Twitter at Arden Sports Talk. My Twitter handle, my Tumblr page, and my YouTube page, they're all in the description below. And of course, for our guest, you can always follow him at his Twitter handle, which is in the description above. So, yeah, man, it's going to be really good. New episode of Daily, which is going to be out. I'm going to record it, try to record it, probably say tomorrow. Thursday or Friday, I'm thinking about. Thanks to those that's been listening to that, by the way. The numbers on that look good. I appreciate some of the feedback that I got on that, for real. But yeah, man, new episodes of AST Presents. We're just waiting for our guest to call in. He's actually on the air right now. Just to give you an introduction to our guest, like I said before, this is somebody who I've known for quite some time now, at least a year. We met through Twitter, talked a lot of football through Twitter, and was eventually able to meet up. We need to meet up soon again, my friend. And this is somebody that, if you're a football fan, regardless if you're into the draft or not, but if you're just a football fan, you really need to be following this guy. I really respect his opinion. I really recommend his work, his content, and he's one of the better young media members in the game today, whether it's from a reporting standpoint or a scouting standpoint or a producing standpoint. This is a guy who I really respect, who I really enjoy his work, and anytime that I have him on my show or on his show, like I was I think, was it like a month ago? It's always a great time to speak in terms of, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to AST Presents, Connor Rogers. How's everything, Connor?
Hey, Arden, what's going on, man?
Everything's pretty good, man. Just out here working. What about yourself?
I'm doing the same, man. Just at work, getting things done. I appreciate the nice intro, and thanks for having me on again, dude.
No problem, man. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, this is Connor Rogers. Please follow him on Twitter, at CRogers_NFL. His Twitter handle is actually in the title of the show. So now, let's just go ahead and get into it, man, in terms of, you know, just having known you for quite some time now. We met through Twitter, talked a lot of football on there, was able to meet just doing draft specials. You know, what are your thoughts in terms of social media today and sports journalism today with this new age of sports journalism?
Well, I think it's changed because it's easier for everybody to have a voice or an opinion now, where back in the day you kind of turn on the TV or you woke up and read the newspaper, and it was kind of through one channel of reporting, whether it was the same reporter, same columnist, same anchors you see on TV every day, whereas now you go on and you could follow up to, you know, thousands of different people, thousands of different opinions, and it's not just, you're not just getting your news from TV. It's not even your number one destination for news anymore. You're going right on the internet and you're getting things quicker, and you're getting quicker reactions, which sometimes lead to, you know, irresponsible reactions. Everybody wants a different take on everything differently as quick as possible. And, you know, there are people that climb for attention. There are people that have a lot of integrity and do a great job. So it's such a big melting pot now. And that's what's so different about it, is that you just have so many minds coming together, and it, you know, it creates a really good platform. But at the same time, it definitely creates a dangerous one.
And that's one thing I wanted to talk with you about, is because you spoke about how, what's the different takes and what's the different personalities. You've seen it, I've seen it, of course, which is you'll have people who come out and express their outrageous opinion or share their take, and regardless if they're serious or not. And you're somebody who on Twitter, I consider to be, in terms of your personality and your opinion, very even keel. You're just honest, you're straight to the point. There's nothing outrageous or crazy, like you're not reaching for the stars. Could it be challenging at times, or is it easy for you to just be who you are and just express how you feel, even though you have a ton of people here and there that just talk and express these crazy opinions, and they're the ones who at times get the most attention.
Yeah, it's tough because you have to stay level-headed. Trust me, every network wants their own Stephen A. Smith, Skip Bayless, and a lot of people on Twitter go that route to get attention and to get noticed. And, you know, sometimes it doesn't work. There's a lot of people out there that, you know, have started from the bottom and they've made their way by just, you know, not necessarily saying outrageous things, but just having a strong stance. And I will take a strong stance if needed, but I also stay in my lane. I follow the draft closer than anything, and that's something where if you're not level-headed, you'll flame out too quickly. People that try to take strong stances, but not educated ones, they burn out really fast. And I think the best way to do it is just keep a level head, going slowly, day by day. The best thing, too, is not burn bridges. I see so many people nowadays, they have the ability to respond to whoever they want, Twitter and, you know, pretty much anywhere, and they draw a reaction out of people. And I think sometimes that burns a bridge too quickly because you can come off in a really irresponsible and disrespectful way. And the best thing in this industry is just building connections, getting respect. Listen, it takes years if you do it the right way, but that's the only way to do it if you want to make it in.
And you mentioned draft scouting, and again, you're somebody who, when it comes to draft scouting, and I'm not saying it because you're on the show, I'm being honest, like when it comes to draft scouting, even though I do draft scout from time to time, I really do look towards you in terms of what you see in the prospect because you're really into this, and at least most of the time from what I see, you're always accurate and you're close to the point with these guys. What was really that thing that got you into just wanting to scout? What is it about scouting that you just go, you know what, like this is what I want to do?
Well, growing up, my dad was always a huge college football fan, and, you know, that kind of – it got me into college football, and obviously I grew up in a household full of Jets fans, and so when you're always looking at, you know, the guys coming in, when you watch college football, you get a head start on these guys that play in the NFL one day, and it was something that my dad was always into. He always loved just, you know, watching players, getting into the draft, and this is, you know, this is about 15 years ago. The thing to do was about a month before the draft, you just get a draft guide from whoever put it out. It was the same brand every year. I always forget the original one. And that's how you just went through and read position by position, and that's how you get to know these players by the, you know, probably just a handful of guys at the time that were following the draft. I know Nolan Naraki's been doing it a really long time, in-depth scouting reports. You know, obviously at Bleacher Report, we have Matt Miller who's been doing it for a while. And you just get these reports and you go through player by player, and that was the only way to do it. And this is talking about you're in the spring going through this, sometimes late winter. Now when you look at it, these guys are being talked about the day after the draft. You know what I mean? You're talking about 2016 prospects the day after the 2015 draft. And it's an industry that I'm in and I love. And it's not necessarily for everyone. But the bottom line is, it's, you know, you have to be very interested in the game itself. There's just no way around it. It all comes down to the football. You take away the money aspect. You take away, you know, the hype of the NFL and being in the NFL and NFL Sundays. It comes down to just the players playing the game every Saturday and how they stack up against each other and how they're going to project into the next level. And I think it's just a great way of looking at it. You know, it's every draft pick is like a lotto ticket, and that's what makes it that much more fun. Just there's guys that, you know, were guaranteed to be great players that flame out. You just never know what's going to happen, but it is an awesome thing to follow. It's an awesome process. You know, the amount of work that these players put in, but also the media that puts in. It's a crazy industry, but it's just a lot of fun.
And speaking, you know, before we move on from the scouting aspect of things, which is, you know, you brought up Matt Miller. Matt Miller, a well-known draft scout, writes for Bleacher Report. You know, for you as a young scout, you know, you've been able to talk and meet with Matt Miller. I remember one time before, correct me if I'm wrong, he was even able to do a conference call with Mel Kiper, and I'm pretty sure you've met other draft insiders as well. You know, having been able to talk to these guys and meet with these guys, you know, have they helped mold and shape your views on the draft and how to go about the process?
Yeah, without a doubt. It comes down to just, you know, you learn something new every day if you want to, and that's just asking questions. I work very closely with Matt Miller and Michael Felder, our two draft guys at Bleacher Report, and, you know, they've been following the game for a long time. So just the amount of questions you ask, what you learn, you listen to what they say. Obviously, Chris Sims played quarterback in the NFL for quite some time, and just asking him questions about a position that I don't know very well in quarterback. But, you know, conference calls with Mel Kiper, John Gruden. And I asked, it's funny, because when I did talk to Mel Kiper, the guy we discussed was Jamie Collins, who's gone on to have a stellar career. And I believe his last year in college, his team didn't win a game. So it's something that's so funny to follow because you never really know how things are going to pan out. But it's really just comes down to what you can learn from them, because at the end of the day, they've been doing it longer than me. And you just, the problem people have is not understanding that they don't know more than everyone. But once they realize that, they have a long ways to go. It's, you know, it's just, like I said, it's a ton of fun. You learn, like, it comes down to just learning something. You learn from your mistakes. And that's the best part about the draft, is that every year you're going to think a guy might be a home run and it might not work out. And you kind of learn something new from that past process.
Definitely, man. You know, I've been able to do some draft scouting like the last couple of years, which is always funny for me, man, because I tell people, like, I really don't be watching college football. Like I tell myself every year, I said, you know what, man, this is going to be the year when I'm going to dedicate my Saturdays to college football. But I can't do it. But somehow, when February starts, I'm right into it. I don't know how, but huge thanks to Draft Breakdown for their videos, man, because it's really be helping me out. But to really just switch things up a bit, man, being where you're at now, let's just take it back to the beginning, man. Just tell people where you're from and what were your earliest memories around sports.
Yeah, well, I know not too far from you, Arden. You're growing up in upstate New York and not that far upstate, Orange County. You know, just been playing sports my whole life. And, you know, when I went away to college, I went to business school at the University of Albany. And, you know, don't get me wrong, I loved what I studied, but, you know, I always wanted to continue following and working with sports every day. And when you get to the point of your life where you're no longer going to be playing them, there's no better way than getting involved somehow with the media. Or I do video production now. You've known for a while that I used to do writing. And it's just, you know, it's find a way to do what you love every day. And that's what it comes down to. You just find a way in.
That is a great point that you just made too, because for me, I've been looking at schools. I've applied to a couple of schools just because, you know, I took at least a couple years off after I graduated from high school just to work and try to do the sports talk thing independently. And I know for me, one of the biggest things that I'm looking for is just, of course, I still want to pursue my dreams of being like an audit personality, but I really want to learn the other things. I want to learn how to be a producer. I want to learn how to edit, because that's some things I've actually been messing with now in terms of, you know, doing the YouTube. And even then, just explain that, you know, that process. Like, what were you thinking of? Was it something that you always wanted to do, or was it something that you picked up in terms of, all right, you started writing, and then suddenly you started getting into video production?
Yeah, it's kind of funny that you put it that way, because that's exactly how it went. It's just step by step. When I went away to school, I went into studying law for a little bit, and then eventually found my way into business when I realized I liked that more. And about exactly at the halfway point, 2 years into, you know, my 4 years at school, I started writing, you know, blogging about the Jets, just because I had followed them my entire life. And, you know, I was just a fan of sports in general. It's another way to just talk about it. And then obviously over the last, you know, half decade, Twitter has just gotten bigger and bigger every year. And when I started writing, a couple people started reading my stuff. And next thing you know, me and you became friends. And I started meeting more people that like to run podcasts and all different kinds of media outlets that there are now. There's podcasts, there's video, there's YouTube channels, you know, there's blog posts, Tumblr, anything like that. Even Instagram now is kind of taking its own path into social ways of getting news and different content out there. And it just went step by step. I went from writing, I went from going on a ton of podcasts weekly and really enjoying it. I do my own once in a while, but it's a lot. And then when I started doing research for Bleacher Report, you know, I kind of carved my own way after a year of producing video, which, you know, nowadays there's obviously video on television networks, but we also do video on our mobile app. And there's just, like I said, there's just so many different ways to go about it. And who knows what I'll be doing in a year from now, what kind of content I'll be doing in a year from now. But like you said, you just kind of fall on one thing after the other and everything just kind of falls into place.
Yeah, but you know what it is too? I also just realized it's also the fact that the more willing you are to change and the more willing you are to learn, I think that helps expand your career just by a little much. Because the truth of the matter is, there's only so few spots that can be filled at a particular spot. So there's only so few spots that can be filled at being a writer or being an on-air personality. So the fact that you can learn other skills, that just makes you, I think, even more of an all-around threat. Like, that's why for me personally, I really want to get into more video production and editing, because I've realized that, wow, I can still have, you know, that same feeling and impact on what I want to do in a different role, but it'll help me become more of an all-around, you know, I guess you could say, person of the media. But it also seems too, man, University of Albany, you guys are really standing out some good people, man. You got stuff coming out of there. I don't know if you know him, but a friend of mine, his name is Nick Cregan. He was in the sports journalism up there, graduated from University of Albany doing his thing. So salute to University of Albany, man. You guys are doing big things up there, you know?
Yeah, everybody's kind of doing their part. And, you know, it was a really good opportunity, you know, state school and just great business program up there. You know, I had a great couple of years up there, and it's nice to be back down and, you know, in the New York City area. And there's a lot going on over here, especially in sports media. But like I said, it was a great 4 years.
And I just want to go back to touching on scouting, because now I want to look towards the future a little bit, which is with all the work that you've been doing with the scouting and with the work you've been doing in video production, because now in 2015, it goes together in terms of, okay, yes, you can scout and write about it, but you can also do scouting videos. Do you see this as a way to possibly, let's say, I don't know, maybe get a scouting job on a college level in the NFL? Is that a goal of yours?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. I would love to do that one day. You know, I think finding my way in and, like you said, just expanding my skill set. You're talking about video production. You're talking about working with different guys that just know so much and been in the industry for a very long time. That's, you know, it's always a way in. And, you know, it's something I would love to do one day. And I think the more I learn, the more I'm capable of doing it. But, yeah, it's just a look ahead to the future right now.
And now we're going to talk about the NFL, but I want to talk about the NFL in a different spotlight instead of just players and teams, which is basically, I think, what is it, maybe the past year, the business side of the NFL has really been at the forefront. When you talk about the image, or as they like to say, the shield, that has really been discussed a lot. And as somebody who, once again, you're over at Bleacher Report now, you know, talking with other scouts and other members of the media, and also people are going to you now. That's another thing, too, I want to talk about, tell you, Connor, which is, again, not saying it's because you're on the show, but you're really starting to get a buzz online, man, and people start to go to you. What are your thoughts on what is happening to the NFL, not from a playing standpoint, but from a business standpoint in terms of its image? Like, do you think it's something that has really hurt the NFL in the short term, or do you think it's something that has just went and gone? Do you think it could possibly hurt the league in the long term? How do you feel about it?
Yeah, well, the image is the biggest thing, and people have to realize this is a league that it's, you know, they generate a lot of revenue for these owners. And right now, I think the biggest image problem is domestic violence right now. You know, since the Ray Rice video released, you know, whatever happened with Greg Hardy, obviously, you know, I've read all the reports, and it's very disturbing what you read. And just having guys that are supposed to be the face of the league that are connected to incidents, you know, like this is what is so disturbing, because you're a league that's trying to expand not only, you know, just globally. We've seen them go to London. There's reports of them going to Mexico City next year. But also, you want to, you know, involve women as fans of this game, not just men. And I think it's very hard to get women on board when guys that are supposed to be faces of the league are connected to domestic violence incidents, and that, you know, affect so many different women. And I think the problem with the, you know, you've got to protect the image of the league, but you have to do it in the right way. And there has to be upfront honesty, and I think they're slowly learning how to get better at that, but it's not happening as fast as people would like. And until there's clear-cut consistency with these suspensions, punishments, that people are always going to have issues against it, and rightfully so.
And what I'm going to ask you here, I think, well, Phil, it's basically going to be like a two-part question, which is you mentioned how the NFL, in terms of, you know, again, domestic violence, we all know it's been a very big issue for the league because of their mishandling and the way they've handled it, and along with the players just to take part in these unfortunate incidents. But you also mentioned how, you know, the NFL needs to find a way to get more women involved. And I know, like, unlike some other sports, especially the NBA in particular, the NBA in particular finds a way to get women involved. You know, it helps that the WNBA, but also because as a basketball fan, when I watch basketball games, there's a guarantee that we're going to have a female presence on the game in terms of reporting. But when it comes to football, in terms of what you would do if you were the commissioner or part of the league, what are certain things that you can do in order to really have a more female presence in the game? Like, what is there else to do?
Yeah, no, it's a fair question to raise. I mean, I think when you look at, I think it was actually the Bucks recently tried coming out with a video series, you know, answering simple questions for getting women involved. And I thought that was kind of the wrong way to go about it. You're not supposed to treat them differently as fans. They should just be included not as women fans, but just as fans of the game, the same as men. Mm-hmm. And I think there's such a good majority of women out there, you know, especially in the United States right now, that just want to be treated like a fan of the game. They want their opinions taken seriously, and I think there shouldn't be a difference that, oh, well, this is the women's take of it. It should just be like, no, this is her. This is just a fan's take or an analyst's take. I definitely think, obviously, we saw the Arizona Cardinals for the first time. They were the first team to have a female intern coach on staff this summer. I think that's a great way to get involved. That was somebody that had played in the Ladies Football League and just had experience playing the game, very into the game, very into, you know, the base of the foundation, like core is strength and just training. And she obviously came off very well. And I think that's a great way to do it. Female refs, you know, female representation, there has to be some kind of, you know, more people that are in the foundation of the league, not necessarily a female commissioner. I mean, even though there's no problem with that, there's a day where that is how it goes down. It's just getting more involved in serious roles. And it's just involvement is what it comes down to. And there should be no exclusion. It should just all be an even playing field.
I agree with that. You know, for me personally, I always felt like, and this has been a thought of mine for years, even going back to like when I used to watch ESPN and these other sports networks like on a daily basis. I don't do that now, but I always felt like for a bigger female presence, what needs to be done is we need to really have, and I really don't want to come across like in the wrong way, but I feel like we really need to have more female analysts in terms of like our actual analysts. Like, I get it. Of course, you're going to have that female that's a part of the crew, that's like the pretty face that just sets up guys. But like for me, I always enjoyed like the Jemele Hills of the world and other female analysts that could get down and really talk, because I feel like they're the ones that really hold their own. And when you could appreciate that, you really just look at them as an analyst. I feel like for me personally, there really needs to be more genuine analysts that are females. Don't just always get the pretty faces out there. I mean, of course, seeing Aaron Andrews is cool, but actually get, like, you know, that analyst that can talk sports like a Jemele Hill or even a Rachel Nichols. You know, what do you think about that?
No, I think you're spot on. I think His and Hers has been just an awesome show. I think Jemele Hill has been great. And it's because when she talks, you want to hear what she says, because it's always, you know, not necessarily a unique stance, but a very good stance. And, you know, there is a unique aspect to it, because at the end of the day, she is a woman, and it's such a limited field right now of women analysts. And I don't know if you know Katie Nolan on Fox Sports 1. I think she's done an awesome job and with Garbage Time. And I think her career, much like Jemele Hill's, is only going to continue to grow. And I think we need more female faces exactly like that.
And also, what is it, too? Because I ended up watching Around the Horn yesterday. Kate Fagan is her name. She did a really good job, too, and she knows her stuff. But a couple more questions before I let you go, man. Continue to talk more about the business aspect of the game. What are your thoughts on the NFL really trying to become more of an international brand with the London Games or the Mexico City Games? Do you really feel as if that's necessary?
You know what? It comes down to money again, once again. And I think it's great to incorporate an international fan base. This is a game that they want. They want it to grow, you know, as much as possible. And I think that's excellent. But at the same time, you have to do what's right for the players. And I think that's a huge problem right now, is that you can't have players – you know, you can't have a team based out of London right now because of travel purposes. And I think also having players play a game in Mexico City is a very interesting proposition, because, once again, it's making these guys travel further in conditions that they might not be used to. Obviously, there's going to be, you know, different weather. There's going to be a lot of different aspects to this game. I think the biggest thing for me right now with these traveling is field conditions. You know, you got to be careful about how these fields are. These fields can't be different from what they're playing on the United States, because – the injuries are, and especially, you know, non-contact injuries are such a serious issue right now in the game.
Absolutely.
But when it comes down to it, it's important to expand the international fan base. I think it's great when they do make these trips that the players go out for the weekend, you know, in advance, and they go out and they do camps with kids and they do different kinds of events. And that's something those kids will take with them for the rest of their life and always love the game. But when it comes down to it, I think it's not time to put a team permanently in one of these cities. I think the game needs to be in the U.S. right now. If they find a way, productive way to expand maybe an international, its own conference league one day, that's fine. But the time is just not now.
Last question before I let you go. With all the negative things that has happened to the NFL, of course there's your positive stuff, but with all the negative things that's happened to the NFL, I've seen people basically say if this keeps up, there will be an end to the NFL. There will be no more NFL. Do you really believe that there can be an end date for the National Football League? Because I, in my opinion, I really don't think so. If there's not another legitimate option out there, pro or college. I mean, people love college, but at the same time, not everybody watches it, you know, and in terms of pro, who else can really take that over? So do you really believe that despite what's going on or what has happened or what could happen, that there could be an end to the NFL?
No, I don't. I think there's always going to be people that are willing to play the game. And I think as much as, listen, right now with the head injuries, it's a very serious concern. And I think the league, as much as it's gotten, you know, quote-unquote softer and the penalties are much more harsh, I think it comes down to right now they have to continue to, you know, change the way the game is played. You got to protect defenseless receivers. And listen, I love, you know, physical football and contact and hitting as much as anyone, but leaving guys vulnerable to shots that they can't defend themselves is how these injuries happen. And if they want the longevity of the game to continue, it's something we just have to deal with right now. But in terms of the game coming to an end, it's just not going to happen. There's always going to be people playing. I think what you will see is I think you'll see better athletes in go the route of baseball, soccer, basketball, that's always been the case. But really, baseball and soccer, I think you'll see some athletes that might have once gone the route of football might have more push to play those sports, you know, obviously a little safer. And it's a really interesting dynamic, to be honest with you.
It really is. Connor, thank you once again, man, for coming on the show. Great interview. Again, man, I'm really happy that I was able to meet you through Twitter and we've been able to have this friendship and always been able to talk football with you, whether it's on the show or on Twitter. And we definitely need to meet up, man. We definitely need to meet up soon. I'm going to be in the city soon, so hopefully we can meet up, man, for real.
Definitely, Orton. Thanks for having me on, man. I appreciate it.
No problem, man. Ladies and gentlemen, please make sure that you follow Connor on Twitter at @CRodgers_NFL. His Twitter handle is in the description above. You have a good day. That, ladies and gentlemen, is the interview for AST Presents. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. Really insightful interview. Talked about today's era of social media and sports journalism. Talked about really getting into scouting and the ins and outs of that. And, of course, talking about the business side of the NFL. I really hope you enjoyed it with these interviews. I'm going to have another one come out next week. I should. New episode of Daily's getting recorded really soon. And I hope you have a good rest of the week, man. You guys stay focused, stay blessed, and you do what you got to do, but make sure you do it the right way. I'll talk to you guys next time. Peace.